Paul, in starting out his letters, it wasn't a point of pride that he was a great apostle. It was a point of humility. This teaching doesn't come from me, and it doesn't come from me following any man. It comes from God. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers that with me to the churches in Galatia. He lets you know right there that it's not of himself and not of his own. Compare it with what Jesus said in chapter 7. I don't testify to myself. I'm testifying to the one who sent me. And if anybody wants to check out the will of God, they'll find out where my teaching comes from. It's not of myself. I'm sent to you from God. I'm sent from above. My teaching is not my own. It's his who sent me. Same thing Paul's doing here, isn't it? In verse 11, Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Look at the clarity in that. And this is a fact of discernment. Every man who's sent by God will make himself nothing, that God's word and will can be everything. He will acknowledge only that he is sent from God. How can they preach unless they're sent? Romans 10. Now, if you're in a church, I want you to really think about this. If you're in a church, and you've never heard the pastor there once say, I'm sent from God. And it's not the same thing as saying, I'm called of God. A lot of people say they're called of God. Called and sent are two different things. Many are called, but few are chosen. If he cannot stand up there by the Scriptures and through the Spirit and say, I'm sent to you from God, the message I have is not my own, and the teaching I have is not my own. Now, where does this leave room for a man's opinions? Compare what Peter said. We must speak as the oracles of God. Look at the difference in what you see going around you. All right? In 2 Corinthians, we can get a lot of insights into this from Paul defending his ministry. Because notice he's not defending himself. He's defending his ministry. By the meekness, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people, who think that we live by the standards of this world. Who think that we live by the standards of this world. Now, you can see what the context of this has to do with. Let's go to John chapter 8 real quick. And this is what we were talking about last night. When Jesus was teaching in John chapter 8, when Jesus spoke in verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. And Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I come from and where I am going. He come from heaven, and he was going back. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. You judge by human standards. Now, I want you to think back to what we were talking about yesterday about the bias of the flesh. See, when men speak out of their intellect and their opinions, there is a bias toward the things of the Spirit. When men speak in that way, anybody who would dare to speak by the Spirit, they don't perceive it as a good thing. They perceive it as, you're putting yourself over me. They perceive it in an envious way of, where do you get off saying you're spiritual? Come down off your high horse, Jesus, and be down here with the rest of us. Don't give us these great claims like you're the light of the world. Come down here and be like the rest of us, Jesus, just a man, and just give your opinion. We just want to hear your opinion on things. We don't want you to tell us with authority, because that means you're placing yourself above us. That's the way they perceived it, and that's not the truth. See, that's human standards. They were judging by human standards. And just like today, we was talking about those who enter into the gate. The one who enters into the gate is the master of the sheep. The ones who try to climb over the fence are thieves and robbers. And all that came before him were thieves and robbers. Climbing over the fence is appealing to you through your flesh. And that's through your intellect, through your opinions, through your desires, through your lusts, through flattery. And that's the way these men come at you, climbing over the fence. They try to get into through the flesh. As the devil always comes through the flesh. But Jesus came in through the gate, and the gate is your heart. He came in through the Spirit. You see that? Well, compare it to what Paul's saying here. I, Paul, who am timid with face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think we live by the standards of this world. In other words, people who are judging by human standards. Remember where Paul says, aren't you yet mere men while there's struggling and strife and envy and quarreling among you? Aren't you mere men? When there's division among you, aren't you acting as mere men? Which means you're called to be more than mere men, according to the Spirit. I may not, but when I come, let me see. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not with weapons of the world. And let me tell you about, in these arguments with the Jews, there is a war there. And Jesus didn't wage war with the weapons of this world. Did he? He didn't debate them. You understand? He didn't get into the carnal envy and strife. He told them the truth. The weapons we fight with are not with weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And to know that we're talking about words here, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. See it? We demolish arguments and pretension. Things of the flesh. With the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is according to the Spirit, not the flesh. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Now, this is a heavy thing. Judgment. Let's understand a principle here that's hidden from the carnal mind. We all agree that the time for judgment is not yet. Judge nothing before its time. Right? But yet, after you've been brought into complete obedience to Christ, you as an individual, after you've been brought to full obedience in Christ, you as an individual, you will still have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ when He comes, won't you? To determine your reward. To be judged for things done while in the body. So judgment comes last. And Paul is telling them, you know what? Isn't that what he's telling them? We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. It's that same principle, isn't it? That judgment comes after it's done. Once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things, the flesh. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to be seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. Those who come in their own name, get it? We're sent, they come in their own name. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Because all they've got to compare is flesh with flesh. There is no comparison with the Spirit. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us. You see, what God has assigned. My boasting and my authority is in what God gave me to do. What God sent me to do. And in that, I have full authority. I'm not going to boast outside of that. You understand? Can you see the difference? He's talking about authority assigned by God. We will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us. A field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. And neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow. And what is he saying here? He wants them to acknowledge that the gospel that they heard in the first place came from him. That God used him. And if they acknowledge that, then they have to acknowledge him as an authority from God, don't they? Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory. But let him who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commands. You see, now, isn't Paul, through this whole chapter here, talking exactly about what we have been talking about for the last couple of days? It's not the one who commends himself, it's the one who the Lord commends. Notice the insights you can get in Paul's defense of his ministry. Because in all of his defense, it's all according to what God has assigned him. It's all what God has called him to do. It's all what God has sent him to do that he's talking about. He is not dealing with anything that is outside of his jurisdiction in the Lord. And he's warning them about those who judge by human standards and the world's standards, and those who commend themselves, and those who have sent themselves, and how that the weapons of our warfare, and how he would deal with these people, it's about demolishing their arguments with the truth. Because the truth is spiritual, and their arguments come from the flesh. See, the truth can take into all this to account, but the arguments of the men's flesh miss every big gaping holes. Do you understand? The truth can blanket the whole thing. There's no argument that can stand against the truth. Because it will be seen among the hearers when there's a comparison. If anyone is listening by the Spirit of God. Because they are speaking by the Lord's power. Not just their own words. They're not men who don't confuse us, as Paul is telling them, with men who commend themselves and who sent themselves. My authority is from above. Who I am and what I am is what God testifies to. All I'm doing is reminding you of how the gospel has come to you in the first place. I'm reminding you of the authority that God has given me, an authority you've already recognized, and I'm going to hold you to it for your own sake. And he goes on to talk about these false apostles. He says in chapter 11, I hope you'll put up with a little of my foolishness, but you're already doing that. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband. Notice, not to myself. I didn't do all this work to bring you to me. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Wow. I do not think that I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. And we have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Wow. And how did he make it clear to them? I'm not a trained speaker. I have no training according to the flesh. But I do have knowledge. Remember what he had just said earlier about godly knowledge in the very beginning of this when we were reading? Remember what he said about godly knowledge? Look at what it goes back to. I beg you that when I come to you, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think we live by the standards of this world. Now notice, trained speakers are by the standards of this world, right? For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. It's not by the training of the flesh. It's not like the seminary, but it's by the Spirit, right? The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And now, going back, he says, I do not think that I am in least, 11:5, in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, standards of this world, but I do have knowledge, the knowledge of God, right? You see that? You see that comparison from the early church, what he's talking about? And we have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? A mark of a minister, he will make himself nothing that God can be first. He will put you ahead of himself. And he will go out of his way to make sure that the gospel is free of charge. I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and I needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I've kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. You know, I've did this here in this very room. I've been burdened to other people who have been here a long time, in order to serve a lot of the newer people. I understand exactly what he's talking about here. I was not a burden to anyone, but for the brothers, so I can preach the gospel free of charge. I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came to Macedonia, who came from Macedonia, supplied what I needed. I've kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things we boast about. For such men are false apostles. Where is their dependency? On the things of this world, the training of this world, the things that the people of the flesh and the credentials of this world, the things people of flesh look at. But how did Paul demolish their arguments? With the true knowledge of God. power from above. And he said, we made it clear to you and everywhere. I'm not a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And we see that everywhere today. Men who do not acknowledge that they're sent from God. Men who have sent themselves and come in their own name. And they are. That's exactly what they are. They're false apostles, deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising that if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. See, I mean, and can y'all see here in Paul's defense of his ministry that he's exposing principles of discernment very clearly? He's following the exact same pattern that Jesus did. When Jesus in John chapter 7 said, you know where my teaching comes from, it's not of myself. He pointed back to the Father. You know where my authority comes from, it's not of myself. And if anybody wants to know where my teaching comes from, all they have to do is seek the will of God. Not their own will, the will of God. And he went on in chapter 8. And he told them very clearly where his testimony comes from. And he showed their bias, that if he wouldn't speak according to the flesh as they did and make his boasts in the flesh as they did, but that they would be envious and that they would be biased against anything he had to say if it came from the Spirit. They didn't see that as a welcome message from God. They seen that as, ooh, this man is going to put himself above us. And that's the way the flesh always looks at it. Jealousy. Jealousy. And fear that somebody's going to cut them off. They were depending on a genealogy to Abraham, and Jesus was depending on something that couldn't be seen, the power of God. But you notice how him and Paul made it very clear where they were sent from. Now, I want you to think about it. These false apostles are everywhere, masquerading as apostles. Because they come in their own name. And they tell you right there that they are. They have their name above the door. Joe Blow Ministries. Benny Hinn Ministries. Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They tell you right up front who they are, that they sent themselves. Paul, it's not a point of pride. It's not a point of putting himself above someone. It's getting them to acknowledge he was sent from God and speaking plainly who he was sent by. That he's not an ambassador of himself, but he's an ambassador of Christ. And he didn't come of his own for his own purposes. He was sent by Christ. When's the last time that you really heard a preacher in one of these big churches acknowledge that? They come to you. And another thing, would a man who acknowledges that, who is sent from God, would they say, well, this is my opinion and this is what I think? And possibly it may be this and it might be this. And if you look at this, I think this means this. No. They spoke what God gave them to speak as oracles of God. And they spoke with authority that come from God. Is this not building a bigger picture for you? To see how Paul defended his ministry, that he didn't do it according to carnal arguments, but through comparing that which is of the flesh with that which is of the Spirit. I'm not a trained speaker, he said. You know, training according to the flesh, but I have knowledge. And we've made that clear to you in every way. And that's a direct reference back to what he said earlier. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets us up against the knowledge of God. And we do it with not carnal weapons. The weapons we fight with are not with weapons of the world. And he just got through telling them in that same passage. You know, some people need to understand that, who think we live by the standards of this world. And what standards was he talking about? These men had carnal credentials. They had carnal training. They were super apostles. And Paul comes out and tells you, I don't think I'm the one wit behind these super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I have knowledge. And you know where that knowledge came from. Not of myself. Awesome, isn't it?
Awesome.
Praise the Lord. It's a good place to stop. Questions?